You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide, as I said, often imitated but never duplicated. We take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. And sir, let's talk about Canelo Alvarez's performance last week. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give him about a 9.
Yeah. I'm good. For the sake of not sounding redundant, Canelo Alvarez is pretty good. He is sizzle. He has the sizzle and brings the steak at the end of the day. Great performance by Canelo Alvarez against a very good fighter. I didn't give Caleb Plant a chance to win, but I knew he was going to be a solid opponent.
You know, it's sort of tough. Is that I was talking this morning with Hector about it. I never went into a fight where I was scared of and I knew I was going to lose. You know what I'm saying? I never went into a fight like that. But I wonder how that is as a professional. I've talked about this time and time again, especially when you're the opponent and you're not making $10 million. You're the opponent making $100 a round and you're coming in from Tijuana to fight some guy in San Francisco or something like that. But I wonder what it's like to mentally realize you're not going to win. It never crossed my mind ever.
Yeah, I mean, watching at home, you can tell by the fifth round that Caleb Plant really had nothing for Canelo, you know, nothing to fear. And Canelo and his team have a game plan and they stick to it. You know, they don't care about the scoreboard, you know, because boxing isn't, you know, it's not like basketball. You know, if you're down 30 early, you're probably going to lose by 30. No. Little by little, they kept chipping away at Caleb Plant. The pressure, not really volume-wise, you know, just the mental pressure and that Canelo puts on a fighter is just as effective as physical punches, because you know if you make a mistake, it's a wrap. And that's what happened to Caleb Plant, you know. And those punches that were a lot of people that were looking to knock Canelo and people that were cheerleading, having Caleb Plant ahead due to these little pity-pat shots, didn't realize those shots to the hip, those shots to the arm, they hurt. and that's why Canelo was able to score a devastating knockout. He broke his man down. And he is probably the biggest difference between him and Chavez, because Chavez was still was a masterful guy in cutting off the ring. And Canelo still doesn't do that to me. He still kind of follows guys around. But the devastating power, you know, that he hits people with just takes their will. And you saw that last week. He's the best in the world, hands down.
Without a doubt. And, of course, there's a lot of guys that want to step up and fight him. One of the young men is the undefeated lad. Of course, he's going to be on TV tonight, David Benavidez. You know, I'm high on him, and then I'm not so high on him, because I guess because he had the coke issues and this and that. And I don't know. It's not that I don't want to give him a second chance or a third chance or whatever it is. I mean, I think he's got some great abilities as a fighter. I just don't know if the intangibles are going to bring him down. In other words, even if he had the talent, the skill, and the heart and the will to beat Canelo Alvarez maybe in a year from now, would he be able to put it all together mentally?
Yeah, so that's a great way you put it. I do think that you do need that intangible to beat Canelo, and it starts from the head up. You know, one thing is to have the game plan and to execute it, but everyone's got a plan until they get hit, right? And
in the face.
Benavidez, style-wise, him and Canelo's, it's a can't-miss fight, you know, but Canelo has that extra gear, you know, in terms of footwork. I think Canelo adapts to his opponents. When he's fought guys like Billy Joe Saunders and Caleb Plant, he knew those guys didn't have much as far as punching power. Benavidez could hurt you, you know, and he throws a whole lot of shots. So I think you would probably see more of a boxer maybe a little bit more cautious from Canelo. And Benavidez's feet are very slow. So if that fight ever happens, you know, that's what leads me to believe that despite Benavidez being a very dangerous opponent, I don't know if he's got the foot speed to keep up with him. And let's face it, he came in overweight yesterday.
No. It was 168 with a pound. Time out. The reason why I'm jumping up and down about that, because I remember one time down in Modesto, I made 140. And they screamed. They were jumping around, all kinds of crazy stuff. No. It was 139, give or take a pound. Okay? Right. And when you say to give or take, I'm going to take.
Gotcha. So I stand corrected, and I apologize. But his work ethic outside of the ring has to be questioned. And like you said, you know, everyone deserves a second chance. I mean, partying, I caught up, you know, some coke in the system. It hasn't happened since. He's got a late replacement. He should look impressive and take care of business. And hopefully he's screaming at the end of the night that he wants a shot at Canelo. Because it's probably, you know, the best fight out there for Alvarez.
For the record, cocaine only stays in your system 72 hours. I mean, unless you take a hair test, and that's like go back months. But I'm trying to say 72 hours is in your system. So these guys are getting popped. These guys who do test positive for cocaine, they're getting popped within 72 hours of getting high.
Which is kind of scary, yes. I mean, if you're in the middle of camp and you're doing blow, you know, that's, I don't know what to tell you. Take a pre-workout.
Kid Akeem Antafashi fought Robert Quiroga, I'm getting these names right, for the IBF 115-pound title, and it was back in the 90s. It was a pay-per-view event that Cedric Kushner, the late Cedric Kushner, put on for $14.99. It was cool. Coming from Albuquerque, I think, or somewhere in Texas. Anyway, Akeem gets knocked out. He was winning the fight. He gets knocked out about the 13th, 14th round, and he's laying there, and they cart him out in a stretcher and this and that. Anyway, on the way to the hospital, they took off his cup, and they found some cocaine in his cup. Okay, so he didn't want to separate himself from the cocaine. Another guy by the name of Tony Willis fought for the WBC light heavyweight title against Dennis Andres. I'm getting these names right. Man, they're working today. My brain is working. And down in Arizona, and I was in his dressing room after the fight. Emmanuel Stewart had him at that point in time. And I was in his dressing room after the fight. And when he came out, I noticed a lump in his sock, you know, down in his sock. And I used to put, like, autographs in my socks and things like that and all kinds of little good luck charms. And stuff. But it wasn't a good luck charm. It was a ball of cocaine.
Wow, that's some stuff.
And another time, I saw Roger Mayweather take the drug test for Tony Willis in Las Vegas, in Nevada. I mean, the commissioner came in and gave him the glass to pee in, right? And then he left. I was wild. I go, what kind of testing is this, man? What time out? So I couldn't believe it. So they passed the glass around. I couldn't piss in the glass because, you know, if I did, it would have tested positive for weed. But I couldn't pee in the glass. I was chuckling. He was looking around for candy. So Roger stepped up, and Roger was cleaning up to pee in the jar.
That's, wow.
That's boxing, that's, baby.
That is boxing. Wow.
That's boxing, baby.
Well, I mean, you would think that wouldn't happen in 2021, that the commission would be a little bit more
diligent
and not just there to collect a check.
The guy came in. I'll never forget it. The guy came in with a cup. He goes, here, this is for you. He hands it to him, this and that. And the guy looks around, and the guy leaves. And wait, I think between you and I, Sock, I think it was a setup. I think that they knew they knew what time it was, and they really didn't want to face any public ridicule. They didn't want to pull the fight to the last minute, and he wasn't going to win the whole 9 yards. So they let him do his thing, and then they sort of shut up about it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, better for the fight to go on, and better for the fight to go on, the event to go on, and everybody get paid, because people don't realize when fights get canceled, little old ladies suffer. Would I always say that? Because, you know, you take care of your mother. If you're getting like 10 grand or you're getting some money, all of a sudden you can't take care of your mom.
That's right. You don't get paid.
Yeah, the trickle-down effect is pretty heavy. Anyway, after the break, let's go to an early break, Cuddy. After the break, we will talk about, of course, Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, talking about fighting the Japanese guy, Murata. I don't know. I'm not too high on Murata. I never was. Anyway, bottom line is, we'll talk about that more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the boxing's PhD, boxing's true PhD. Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. will stay with us. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and a live stream on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Ring Talk, live worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
Yeah, I know you, buddy. That was Nick Charles, formerly of CNN, Showtime, ESPN, you name it. Nick was the man. The man with the most beautiful head of hair in the entire world. He was it. Girls used to watch him on TV and go, oh, the hair. May he rest in peace. Nick Charles. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Let's talk about talking. We're not going to talk about boxing here. We're talking about talking because a lot of boxers have become professional talkers. Case in point, Teofimo Lopez, undefeated lightweight champion, acquired that title, of course, by beating the seemingly invincible, although I did bet on him, Vasyl Lomachenko. Of course, he defeated him over 12 rounds. Pretty decisive one-sided fight there as far as I was concerned, as far as the scorecards were concerned. But at the end of the day, he's going to have, allegedly, a fight later this month with George Kambosos, a cat from Australia. And then he says he wants to move to 140 pounds. Well, this talking has got me irritated, and it's got everybody up in arms. Why do I say this? Because, you know, he's a 135-pound linear champion. He's got the WBC super title, the Ring Magazine title, the titles that matter, okay? And guess what? He wants to move up to 140 pounds. Where's the greatness in this kid? I mean, greatness is staying at a weight and dominating a weight, not jumping around from weight class to weight class to weight class, back and forth, this and that. I think that Teofimo Lopez is a guy is just going to talk his way out of big money paydays because either he's scared of Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia and these guys 135 pounds, or I don't know what more to say. I mean, what more can it be? If you wanted to really reign supreme at 135 pounds, you would either beat Lomachenko once again, of course, probably, you know, if that was to happen, and then, of course, take on the other two guys that I just mentioned. But then again, you don't hear him mentioning that Devin Haney's fighting JoJo Diaz, I think, next month, and we'll see what happens there. But straight up, 135 pounds is where it's at. But one of the big talkers in boxing, another big talker in boxing, Anthony Joshua, talked his way out of a trillion-dollar fight with Tyson Fury. Decided he was going to sneak in one more fight on his Sky Sports contract so he can get away from that and go to the zone. And what happens? He gets beat up. I mean, he got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. I mean, Oleg Usyk beat him up. There was no disputing that decision after 12 rounds. I don't care who you were. All right, just showed how limited Anthony Joshua was. And yes, I was high on Joshua, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist. That being said, we go back to boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. I'm tired of guys talking. Do you feel me?
Yeah, and in the era that we're in, it's a lot easier to talk. I mean, social media, everyone now is www.whatever.com. You know, everyone's got a platform. So, and fighters are not shy. You know, they'll stick a cell phone in your face and, you know, they'll say anything. The best fights seem to be happening on Twitter and on Instagram, and it's bad for the sport. I think that I'm kind of on board with you with Teofimo Lopez. He does have some unfinished business.
Lots.
I think he does. He definitely does. And I think if he fought those guys at a heavier weight class, I don't think you're going to see the best of them. You know, I think this is all those guys are natural lightweights. Despite Devin Haney being the larger out of all of them, he's got a big frame. And Teofimo's not a huge guy at all, mm-hmm. but you know he's thick, and maybe he's having trouble making that 135. Maybe he doesn't like it anymore. Doesn't want to put that extra effort. He's married now. I don't know. He might be looking to cash out soon. Yeah. Josh Taylor is a big 140.
Josh Taylor's limited.
Josh Taylor's limited, but I think I'm a big Lopez fan, but I think he lights him up. I think he's a little bit too big for Teofimo, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think lightweight, he definitely has some unfinished business with Devin Haney. They put on, you know, good back and forth on the zone. It's good as far as hyping up a potential fight. Hopefully, they both take care of business in the next coming month, and we get that fight in the spring.
Okay. My man, Frank Warren, isn't happy with the fact that British Sports or BC Sports, whatever it is BT Sports, is going to be going to DAZN. He says his contract is with the other company. And he might walk away. Is he just trying to renegotiate his new contract?
I think so. I mean, Frank Warren, I'm sure, has made a lot of money. And I don't think, you know, he's working because he wants to work. But I think, yeah, that's one of the best ways to negotiate, right, to make that type of threat.
You do know about Frank Warren's boxing career, right?
Please tell me.
So okay, well, I mean, he had a one-sided route with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson beat the snot out of him in a hotel room in the UK one time. Just beat the absolute, you know what, out of him. And another guy whose name I'm slipping right now, but shot him. He was a junior welterweight, Terry Marsh, a junior welterweight from San from the UK. There's no doubt in my mind that Terry Marsh shot him. Terry Marsh all but admitted it to me when I said to him, "Did you shoot Frank Warren?" And he looked at me and winked his eyes and said, "Why would you think that?" He winked it like 10 times. I mean, why would you think that? Because the guy looked just like you without him. It was like Terry Marsh with a mask. Okay. I asked Warren about that one time. He didn't want to talk about it. But Frank Warren's went up against two fighters. He's 0-2.
Okay. He should do his fighting in the boardroom.
All right. What about Gennady Golovkin and Murata? Why isn't Canelo doing his thing the third time with Gennady Golovkin? Isn't that really one of the bigger fights out there? He seems to not even mention his name anymore.
You know, it's 50-50. You know, some people are kind of tired of it. I mean, it's like they don't want to see a third fight. Some people are kind of dismissing Golovkin, that he would just, you know, get annihilated by Canelo. But let's face it, he's the only guy that has gone 24 rounds with Canelo Alvarez. And yes, Canelo Alvarez has gotten better. And you can say Golovkin's gotten older. Maybe he declined a little bit. If that third fight happens, he'd have to come up to 168 pounds to do it. You know, Golovkin's a Hall of Famer in my estimation, in my eyes. You know, he's and what I respect about him, that he's fought his entire career at the same weight, and at 39 years old, he still has that discipline.
Yep.
He's got a fight lined up against Murata, who's a good fighter, but I mean, can I take a shot at the WBA? The WBA has a guy that hasn't fought as a champion, that hasn't fought in almost 2 years, and he's a champ. The WBA has my good buddy, Sergio Martinez, ranked number 3.
No!
Yes!
No, not the Sergio Martinez who used to be the world champion. It's like 45 years old.
Unless there's another Sergio Martinez, I mean...
Oh!
It's crazy. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, here's the scoop.
We don't have any sponsorship with WBA, right?
No. But I do want to say this. Okay. I'm the next WBA ratings I'm coming out. I'm ranked number 4 at heavyweight.
Okay. I'll make Bridger. How's that?
Well, you can make the Bridger gate, but bottom line is I'll be number 4 as the heavyweights are concerned. The WBA is, of course, under the WBC sponsors this show. The WBA is under a lot of heat from the Association of Boxing Commissions. Of course, they've had to redo their ratings. They did their heavyweight ratings. They did October, and then they did November 1st, and then they did November 2nd. They did two sets of heavyweight ratings in 2 days. Why? I don't know. Nefarious, say what you want. Bottom line is, Murata and Triple G are going to collide in the quest in December, I guess, in Germany. And no, take it back. In Japan, Golovkin 41-1-1. Of course, the one loss and the one draw to the aforementioned Canelo Alvarez. Murata 16-2, 13 kills. You know, Japan's always had a soft spot with the WBA. I mean, they've always had. The Orient has always enjoyed a lucrative. I guess is the way I want to put it, a lucrative relationship with the WBA. This is a classic example. If he hasn't fought in 2 years and they didn't declare his title vacant, what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good fighter. It's not a knock. It's not a knock on him. And actually, the Golovkin and Murata really decorated amateur fighters, so it's going to be a good fight.
Okay.
Murata showed me something coming back after that loss against Brandt, the middleweight from... Minnesota.
Okay. Tonight, Showtime, November 13th, David Benavidez and Kyron Davis. Davis being the last minute substitute, 169 pounds. What happens real quick? What do you think?
Benavidez looks spectacular, and he breaks him down and wins somewhere between round 6. He stops him.
Okay. Am I the only guy that sort of feels sorry for Gabe Rosado that they keep putting him in these fights that he really's not supposed to win? Of course, he's taking on Jaime Munguia tonight, 160 pounds. He's a solid fighter, Rosado.
100% correct. Yes, and that's the fight of the day. I mean, Gabe Rosado, he's really hard not to root for. Yeah, he's always gives a good effort, and that's what fight fans really respect. At the end of the day, that you have a guy that's out there to win. He came in as the underdog, against a guy from Uzbekistan and delivered one of the knockouts of the year back in the summer. I think it was in June. And he's right back, you know, against Jaime Munguia. And he is going to test Munguia big time. Like you said, he's not expected to win. To me, he's got to frustrate Munguia. He's got to take Munguia late, steal some rounds, and be careful because he has shown times where he's been dropped. Okay. It's hard to pick against Munguia, but I'll definitely be rooting for Gabe Rosado. Should be a great fight.
We got like 30 seconds left. Your boy Demetrius Andrade is going to fight next week. Should I want to watch that?
If there's nothing else, what are you going to watch? The World Dart? You going to watch the Dart Championship on the Zone?
If there's nothing else. That's boxing's PhD telling it like it is, folks. Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. Say hello to Sebastian and the entire crew. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
The one, the only, boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer, exclusively appearing on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a sports byline presentation. Straight up. Ring Talk returns after the break. We'll take 3 minutes, of course, take a break. We'll come back after the break. We'll talk boxing and a little MMA as well. You are tuned, and we'll talk about some more talking. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.